Welcome to Live with Lon today. Why did the Jewish people in Paul's day stone Stephen to death and try to kill the Apostle Paul? And why would it be possible today for me to walk into an ultra-Orthodox Jewish gathering, proclaim the name of Jesus, and very possibly suffer physical harm and injury for doing that? Why? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today from the Gospel of John. So, here we go. John chapter 15, and we're going to pick up where we left off. Jesus talking to his disciples. Here's what he said. Here's where we left off. Jesus talking about how the world hated him and how they'll hate us when we conspicuously make his name known. Verse 21, "But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me, God the Father. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin." You say, wait a minute. Whoa. Time out here. What does Jesus mean? If he hadn't come and spoken to them, people don't have any sin? No, that's not what he means in context. What he means in context is their hate for Christ and their persecution of Christ, that, and their rejection of Christ, if Jesus had not come and preached the gospel to them and presented himself to them, then they would not be responsible for that. But now that he's done that and presented himself as Messiah and they've rejected him, now that sin gets added on to all the other sins in their life. You understand? He's talking about the specific sin of persecuting him and rejecting him. Now, verse 23. "He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else has done, miracles, they would have no sin in rejecting me and persecuting me. But now they have seen and also hated me and my Father. But this happened that the word," the Old Testament, "might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes," he's talking about the Holy Spirit, "whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you also will bear witness of me, because you have been with me from the beginning." Chapter 16. "These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think he offers God a service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you in the beginning because I was with you, but I'm leaving now to go back to heaven." Okay, now what is going on right here? Well, Jesus is doing one very important thing here. He's saying to them, look, I'm telling you what's going to happen in the future. I'm telling you about the persecution you're going to have to deal with. I'm telling you about people or how they're going to hate you and how when they kill you, they think they do God a service. And why am I telling you this? so that you don't stumble, so that when it happens, you remember I told you about it in advance, and therefore you don't trip and fall and stumble over the persecution, but you know it's coming because I already told you. And you know I'm God because I was able to predict the future and tell you what was going to happen. You understand? He's reassuring them, don't worry about the persecution. I told you it was coming. And let me tell you why they're doing it. Now, this is interesting. Watch. Verse 21. But all these things they'll do to you because, look at verse 21, they do not know him who sent me, God the Father. Verse 23. He who hates me hates my Father also. And then let's go down to chapter 16, verse 3. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. Now, we talked about this a number of weeks ago, but Jesus reemphasizes it here in John 15. And so I want to reemphasize this. If it's important enough for Jesus to reemphasize, then it's important enough for you and me to reemphasize. Three times here, Jesus says that how people feel about him and how they feel about God the Father, their relationship to him and their relationship to God the Father are intricately and inescapably connected. This is live. What can I say? Connected. So, love me, love God the Father. Hate me, hate God the Father. Persecute me, why? Because you don't know God the Father. You with me? Love me, you love God the Father. Oh, and remember what we saw in John chapter 8. Look at this right here. John 8, verse 54. Jesus answered them and said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me. Now watch, look. Of whom you say, Jewish people, that he is your God. So when Jewish people worship Jehovah God of the Old Testament and talk about him, who is that person that they're talking about? They're talking about God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus just said. So if you hate me, you hate God the Father. Meaning, people who say, I love God, I just don't love Christ, I'm sorry, that is an impossible situation. It is an oxymoron that can't exist. You cannot love God the Father and hate Jesus at the same time. That's what he says three times right here in John chapter 15. Those who hate me hate the Father, and those who love me love the Father, he says here in John. So, it's both or nothing. You either love Jesus and that means you love God, or if you love God, it means you'll love Jesus, or if you hate Jesus, I don't care how much you talk about God, I don't know how much you give to God money, I don't care how much you think you're doing to serve God, you don't know him, and you don't love him. Not the real God of the universe. This is why Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not do this in your name? Did we not do that in your name? Did we not do the other thing in your name? And Jesus will say, be gone, I never knew you. It doesn't matter how much you think you've done. I never knew you personally. Why? Because if you know God the Father personally and love Him, you will love and want to know Jesus personally. Next time somebody tells you they love God, ask them how they feel about Jesus. That's all, very simple. Oh, I love God so much. God, thank you so much for doing this for me. Hey, just out of curiosity, what's your opinion of Jesus? I've really got no use for him. Folks, telling you right there, this is going to be one of the people. Maybe it's your mother, your father, your uncle, your aunt, your sister, your brother, your grandfather, your grandmother, your children. This is one of the people that unless they change, Jesus is going to say, thank you for all that stuff you did, but you know what? I never knew you. Be gone from me. Boko Haram, who kidnaps Christians in Africa and sells many of them into slavery and kills the rest. They do it in the name of God, Allah. But is Allah God the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ? No. No, he's not. Among the many reasons he's not, suppose you can't hate Jesus and truly know and love God the Father of the Bible. That's what the Bible says. ISIS, same way. Jewish people today. If I walked into Brooklyn to one of the ultra-Orthodox sections of Brooklyn and walked into a Chabad center or walked into a synagogue and said, I'm here to present to you Jesus, who is the Messiah. I don't know exactly what would happen, and I'm not going to speculate, but it would be bad. There would be hatred and vitriolic response to that. But they are in the synagogue, worshiping, in their mind, God. Sorry, they can't be truly worshiping the God of the Bible. And when I mention the name of Jesus, respond with vitriolic hatred. You understand what I'm saying to you? So don't kid yourself. There are many ways to God. No, they're not. There's only one, through Christ. Well, they may not believe in Jesus, but they're still worshiping the same God. No, they're not. If you don't love Jesus, you don't know and love the true God. You understand? Christians, let's be biblical. Let's not think with our emotions. Let's think with our theology. So don't let people trick you into saying, well, you know, they really have no place for Jesus, but they love God. No, they don't. No, they don't. It's a mirage. Now, that's as far as we're going to go in our passage, because we're going to ask our most important question. So, are you ready? This is a Christmas. So what? Here we go. One, two, three. So what? Yeah. And it's Christmas. The Lord Jesus came here to earth to rescue us from our sin. Colossians chapter 1. I want to put these verses up on the screen. Colossians chapter 1. Look at this. Here's what we celebrate at Christmas. Verse 13. He, the Lord Jesus, has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us, transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom, who's the whom? The Son, in whom, the Lord Jesus, we have redemption through His blood shed on the cross, comma, the forgiveness of sins. Man, that's the gospel right there. And you know what we say? we say what? How sweet it is to have redemption, to have forgiveness of sins, to be transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son, and to be rescued from the power of darkness. Man, that's the gospel. That's what Christmas is all about. Praise the Lord. And I'll be talking to you more about that in the next week or two. But praise the Lord for Colossians 1. Those verses should be memorized, my friends. And praise the Lord for Jackie Gleason reminding us how sweet it is to be loved by God like that. Now, what's the so what of our passage today? The so what of our passage is that it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. How a person feels about Jesus tells you how they really feel about God. A person's relationship to Jesus tells you what their real relationship is to God. And I don't care how religious they look. I don't care how pious they look. I don't care how godly they look. Don't you believe any of that. It's all self-serving. It's all fraudulent. They may not know it's fraudulent, but it is. Why? Because if they really knew God the Father, and they really loved God the Father, they would know and love the Lord Jesus. Remember how the Lord Jesus said? He said, if you loved the Father, you would love me, because I come from him. Yeah. The converse is, if you don't love me, you don't love God the Father. I'm sorry. I don't care how much ritual you do, you don't love him. And we can sometimes be fooled by people seeming so pious that we think, oh, they've got to love God. How much money they give, oh, they got to love God. How much service they give, they got to love God. They got to know God. No, they don't. Ask them how they feel about Jesus, and you'll know. I was flying back from Israel a few years ago, and I was sitting next to a woman, an ultra-Orthodox Haredi woman, and immediately her husband made us switch seats with her, because a ultra-Orthodox woman is not supposed to sit next to a man who's not her husband. It's a shanda. It's a shando. It's a embarrassment. It's something you don't do. So this gentleman sits down. I don't know how old he was. Maybe 50-ish, 60-ish, something like that. And man, away he went. He got out his Hebrew prayer book. And once we got up in the air, he got out his Hebrew Bible. He was studying the two, very intent, very pious, very focused. A little bit later, when it was time for morning prayer, he got up and he put on his talis, the robe that the Jewish people wear when they pray, and he put on his tefillin, these black boxes that the Lord Jesus talked about, phylacteries. Got up, stood up on the plane, as did many Jewish men, Orthodox men on the plane. We're flying back to America. Put on this, stood there, davening, rocking back and forth, praying as men did throughout the airplane. And so I struck up a conversation with this guy. I said, oh, you know, you going to America, do you live in America? He goes, no, you know, we live in in Brooklyn. But we've been to Israel to visit, and I'm like, oh, that's nice, you know. Okay, and what were you in Israel doing? I was leading a tour. Oh, you were? Good. Jewish people? No. Christians. I said there were one or two Jewish people in the group, but mostly Gentiles who believe in Jesus. He said, I thought you said your name was Solomon. I said, it is. I'm Jewish. He said, you're Jewish? I said, yes. He said, you're Jewish? Yes. And you're a priest? Well, not exactly, but I didn't want to get into the intricacies, and I said, well, not exactly, but yeah, sort of. Yeah, how can you be Jewish and be a priest? You left the faith. I said, no, I didn't. He said, yeah, you did. You had to be Jew. You have to leave the faith. You can't be Jewish and believe in Jesus. I said, of course you can. All the early Christians were Jewish. The Apostle Paul was Jewish. Peter, James, John, they were all Jewish. Yeah, he said, but they were all misled. You cannot be Jewish and believe in Jesus. He said, well, you probably just were not taught when you were younger. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, did you go to Hebrew school? Yes. Did you go to Sunday school at a synagogue? Yes. Were you bar mitzvahed? Yes. I said, I even read Torah in the daily services for several years there in my synagogue. He said, did you have any formal training in the Old Testament? I said, yes. The Tanakh, he called it, the Jewish Bible. I said, yes. I said, what yeshiva did you go to? Well, I said, well, I didn't go to a yeshiva. I went to Capital Seminary, and then I did my graduate work at Johns Hopkins University. Ah, he said, ah, you know nothing. I felt like saying, excuse me, do you know the Near Eastern Studies at Johns Hopkins department? You know how famous that department is? And I studied the man who taught me Mishnaic Hebrew from the Mishnah, and the man who taught me Dead Sea Scrolls was a Jewish professor from Baltimore Hebrew College. But I didn't say any of that. He said, you know nothing. Nothing. I said, well, sir, I said, what do you think of Jesus? She said, well, he said, what do you mean, what do I think of Jesus? I said, I think nothing of Jesus. He might have been a good man, but he said, I think nothing of him. I said, well, you know, he claimed to be God in the flesh. He goes, ah, what? Bleh. He goes, preposterous, nonsense. I said, okay. He said, see, I told you, you know nothing. I said, well, sir, you know what I do know? I said, I know that I'm going to heaven after I die. I know that if this plane goes down, the last breath I breathe here on this earth, the next breath I breathe will be on the shores of heaven. And you know how I know that? Because Jesus said, he who believes in me shall never die, but shall have eternal life. And he just went, ah! And he was so disgusted with me. He was so thoroughly frustrated with me that he just went, ah! And he turned away from me. And he never spoke to me again on the flight. Just before we got off, I tried to offer him, this was years ago, a CD of my testimony. He wouldn't even answer me. Now, question. With all of the Bible study and all of the prayer and putting on his tallis and his tefillin, and standing up in front of everybody and reading his prayer, morning prayers, and with all of his study, because he obviously maybe had been to some yeshiva, does that man know God the Father? No. You say, Lon, that's horribly judgmental. Horribly intolerant. Folks, I'm not being judgmental and intolerant. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. What did Jesus say? He who hates me, John 15:23, hates my Father also. What are you going to do with that? You got to believe it. This is one of those people, like I said, they're going to meet Jesus in the afterlife if the man doesn't change. And he's going to say, yeah, but I stood up on the plane and prayed to you. I wore the tefillin in the talit and prayed for you. I studied and did my morning prayers right there on the airplane. I took out the Bible and read it the whole flight and prayed. And Jesus is going to say, yeah, well, you know what? I don't know you. And the reason I can tell you that, Jesus will say to him, is because if you really knew me and loved me, you'd know and love the Lord Jesus. Okay, my friends. Why does Boko Haram do what they do? Why does ISIS do what they do? Why do militant Muslims believe that Christians are infidels? Some of them are, you know, to the point that they need to be punished and even killed. Why today, if you walked into a synagogue and mentioned the name of Jesus, would there be a massive response, negative response? Because, listen to what Jesus said. He said, these things they will do to you, John 16:3, because they have not known the Father nor me. So folks, it's all right. Jesus told us this is what was going to happen. It's happening just like he says. So stand your ground. And don't be duped by people's behavior, no matter how pious or religious it may look. Remember, he who hates me, Jesus said, hates God the Father. Let's pray. Oh God, thank you for sending the Lord Jesus this Christmas, as we read earlier, to rescue us from the kingdom of darkness, to transfer us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, to give us redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1:13-14. Oh Lord Jesus, how much we love you for that. And Lord, help us this Christmas season. As we meet, we're going to meet many people at work, in our homes, at school, in our neighborhoods, wherever, who are going to tell us how much they love God, who are going to act like they love God, but are going to have nothing to do, nothing they even want to do with Christ. Lord, help us to see them for where they really stand with you, and help us to share the gospel with them, Lord, and not just say, well, I'm sure they're fine. Thank you for teaching us today, and we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what? Amen. And what? Amen. Okay. Hey, God bless you. Merry almost Christmas. And Lord willing, we'll see you next week on Live with Lon. God bless.